Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. This is your host, Jeanette Brown, and I am delighted to be here. Today, I'm in Boston, sitting down with two folks from the London Business School. I am hoping that you will tune in, listen, and draw a lot from what they have to share. Let me welcome, please, Gareth Howells and David Simpson. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi there.
And to start out, I wonder if you could each introduce yourselves and let our listeners know the role that you play at London Business School, how long you've been there, and how you came to admissions.
Okay, sure. My role is Executive Director for the full-time MBA, the Post-Experience Masters in Finance, and the Early Career Programs at London Business School. I've been at the school for a long time. I'm very proud to have passed my 20-year anniversary, and throughout that time, 17 of those years have been part of the MBA, obviously joining in a much more junior role, but now having overall responsibility for the MBA.
Thanks, Gareth. I'm David Simpson, Admissions Director for the MBA and also for the Post-Experience Masters in Finance programmes. Like Gareth, I've been here over 20 years. Absolutely love London Business School. It's in my blood. So I obviously head up admissions for the programmes. I'm also involved with scholarships and doing all kinds of other work with the school as well. I think one thing we've both been involved with time in school, we've both represented the staff on the school's governing body as well. So we've done all kinds of everything at the school.
Terrific. And then maybe if you could paint a picture of the admissions team at London Business School, how many people help you out and kind of how is it organized?
Sure. So in the admissions team, we have a number of people working, concentrating on different regions around the world. So the way we approach it, being an extremely global school, is that we will have people taking care of you wherever you're from, and they will be experts in the region. So they will know the alumni, they'll be traveled out there, they'll get to know you. And then we have some folks who are in the office, working with the operations and making sure everything, sort of the spine of the team, making sure everything works properly so we can get through all those many applications through the year and come out with the right mix of students at the back end.
Terrific. And then if I can have you each tell me what you like the most about your jobs.
That's a really easy one, and I think it to some extent explains why I've stayed there so long, in that every single day I get to be surrounded by just a vibrant community of interesting, fascinating people from around the world, staff, students, faculty, alumni as well. And I really do think I have the best job in the world. And what's interesting for me is just to seeing how the MBA at London Business School has evolved quite a lot in that time, and how the world does business has evolved quite a lot as well. And so you're constantly looking at what's new, what employers are saying, what are the skills and knowledge that that students need to be successful. So you're constantly making changes. So there's never a dull moment, and never one day is never the same as the next.
Yeah, for me, it's a fairly obvious one of getting to know people and hearing stories from all over the world. In my 20 plus years at the school, I've worked in different teams on different roles, but I've come back to my first love at London Business School, which is admissions. And just reading the essays, reading the stories, and then meeting the people along their admissions journey. And when they finally arrive at the school, I still get the same kick from it. You learn so much from other people, especially when they're coming in from sort of 70 plus different countries and different industries. So I think I couldn't really think of a job or an industry where you can continuously learn about each and every sector in the same way that we do, just naturally through our job. So that's what I love.
You're making me jealous. Now, Gareth, I'll ask you to answer this question. What is the single most exciting development, change, or new thing on the horizon at LBS this year?
I think it's really centered around the kind of curriculum development and the growth as well. As a school, we've been growing quite significantly through the expansion of existing programs like the MBA, but also addition of new programs. And I think we've been working towards adding a sixth section of the MBA, a sixth stream where we will take our class to our largest ever at 480, and then we're going to be enrolling those in August. And also we did a major overhaul of our MBA curriculum. We had a strong MBA, but we wanted to make sure that we kept it fresh. And we've been rolling that out during the course of the last year. And so next year, we wanted to do that in time for the sixth stream. So coming up in the next year, we've added a whole bunch of new academic courses, new elective courses, ranging from artificial intelligence, luxury strategy, managing a digital organization. And so I'm really proud of what we've been working towards. And I think the final piece of the jigsaw is when the sixth stream arrives, where we have a brand new curriculum. What drove the curriculum development and innovation was, as I said, we already had a strong MBA with highly ranked and with strong employment output. But I think the thing that characterized what drove us on the changes was the diversification of professional aspirations that we were hearing and seeing from students and candidates, but equally important, the diversification of employers that sought MBA talent. And so we set about then designing a curriculum that reflected that. The fact that, you know, historically, like many MBA programs, we had been our strong, biggest outputs were in finance and consulting, and those are still very important anchors to the MBA program. But now over 20% of our students graduate into tech-related roles, and we wanted to make sure that we had a curriculum that reflected the diverse needs of students. So we moved to a model of a tailored course, so rather than not everybody having to do the same core, a much smaller business fundamentals core of those building blocks that you would expect. But now students can customize the first year of their MBA alongside the second year and take courses that are more suited to their particular career goals as well. We also massively increased the amount of experiential learning on the program. We've always had a strong reputation for global experiential learning, but we wanted to utilize the fact that we're in the greatest city in the world, as far as we're concerned, to make London part of our classroom. And so we have a signature experiential module now, where students will do projects in a live environment with a broad range of companies. So we had students doing projects with Amazon. We have students working with the British Fashion Council for helping new generation designers actually build their own business, and fusing those two things together. We're also adding new locations to our Global Business Experiences, which is our signature experiential model module in year two. So this year we, for the first time, took students to Yangon in Myanmar, but we're adding Sao Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. So we now have seven different locations where every single student gets to go on one of those trips as part of their MBA experience. So we're really excited about the year ahead. More students, high quality class, and a really brand new curriculum that we've been working really hard to keep up to date.
David, I'd like to ask you maybe to talk about an area of the LBS MBA program that perhaps isn't well known enough, that gets overlooked, or to counter any misconceptions about the program that applicants may have.
Okay, so on the misconception side, let me take that first. I think it's probably outdated already, but you know, the fact that we are so strong in finance and we have some finance specific programs means that we're just leveraging our London location, having a fantastic finance faculty. But we wouldn't want anybody to think that the MBA is, you know, labeled up as a finance MBA. This is an amazing program with very strong faculty areas all over it. So I think that's a main one. I mean, most of that is reflected in where our students go anyway, you know, consulting being number one and tech rising very quickly, with finance truly important there as well. And the fact that because we're in London, the diversification within finance is big as well. So as a misconception is that we're strong in every area rather than having any one or two specifics. Other than that, things that perhaps aren't as well known. I mean, we hope we do a reasonably good job of telling the stories across the board. What most of our students say at the end is, "Oh, it's really hard to put across the full picture of the experience you have, and perhaps how collaboratively the students work. There's so much to do just to get through the program and then enjoy all the experiences. Our job in the admissions team is not just to collect this diverse bunch of people from all around the world, but also the right personality types as well, who recognize that you've got to help each other out here, and you will all get more from it as you do. That works really well at the school. And that's something I'm quite proud of that our team does, is to help select people who get that. No matter how ambitious and driven and type A these students are, they all get the fact that working with each other helps them, helps others. This is their network for the rest of their career and life. You know, they will spend the next few years going to weddings, parties, doing business, consulting each other wherever they may be around the world. You know, and those stories, they sound a little cheesy at times, but every alum will come up with the same examples each time. The fact that they could be on a project in Japan or work trip or whatever, and they can ring up old friends who they've stayed in touch with. It's a tight network. You know, we have a growing class size, and we have in terms of small and large, we're somewhere in the middle in terms of student numbers, but it's a good, strong alumni network. Other programs within the program, I think you briefly touched on the, us making the most of London. You know, we've always done that, but we've really focused on it with this last program review. So our London CAP program, bringing in some really interesting organizations, and not just from the sort of employer sphere, but making the most of everything across London as well. Students seem to be really enjoying that, and I think more and more will sign up, even though it's optional next year. I cannot believe some don't, so I think we'll be maxing that one out. But there's so much going on. I think we've got so many stories to tell, that's part of our job as well.
So I would be the first to discourage an applicant from choosing a business school solely on the basis of its facilities. At the same time, I know that you have a brand new facility that makes going to LBS even more exciting right now. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. We've made a major investment in teaching and learning facilities at London Business School, and it's part of our overall strategy to grow as a school. We wanted to make sure that we had the facility to support that. We already are in a central city location. Our main campus is on the outskirts of Regent's Park. But just down the road, we've opened our brand new teaching facility, the Sammy Offer Centre, which was made possible for a generous donation from one of our alumni as part of our overall fundraising campaign. It really is a truly special building. It's got a lot of history at it. It's formerly was the old Marylebone Town Hall. It's where famous people, including Paul McCartney, got married. And even though we've now taken that building over, we still allow Westminster Council to hold weddings in the two rooms with that. So it's something that's quintessentially British, that you're going into the new facility and there might be confetti blowing across the street, the steps. But in terms of that facility, again, it was new lecture theatres, brand new state of the art in terms of the digital aspects of that, a lot more on student study space, student social space. Because again, we were getting quite cramped at the main school, and so that was why when we opened this, we were then able to then increase the class size for the MBA. We didn't want to do that until we had the facilities. The feedback from students has been overwhelming. But we want to make sure that the campus experience is across the two buildings, but at the moment a lot of students are enjoying the brand new building as well, which means that we then have to continue to update the facilities on the main campus as well. But it's a great building, and again, if candidates are ever passing through London, they can let us know. We can arrange class visits, but of course we would invite them to also visit our new facilities as well.
I wonder if you'll have an uptick in LBS weddings in the new facilities.
Well, that is
there a special
possible.
Rate?
Well, exactly. We I'm sure we should look at that as well. But no, of course we have a large class size, and yes, you know, some marriages and births come from the MBA program. So who knows? We might just get that going as well.
That's pretty fun. In talking to schools here in the States, we have had an interesting year in terms of application volume, influenced by the political climate as well as shifts in visa regulations. over across the pond, you have some considerations that applicants are looking at as well. Brexit, the value of the pound. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about how that may be influencing what you are seeing, the concerns that applicants are expressing, and your advice to applicants in terms of interpreting these issues.
Sure. Well, of course, as you said, Brexit has been something that has dominated the headlines for a couple of years now. It's interesting to kind of see that it's been going on for that long. I'll be honest, I was a Remainer, so I'm very proud to say that I was a Remainer, but it didn't go the way that we wanted it to. But in terms of the impact, we're not yet seeing a huge amount of impact in terms of our application volumes or even, more importantly, our employment stats. So it's been really interesting. At the moment, our students' employment rates are around 93-94%, and we're actually seeing an increase in the number of students who are getting jobs in London. So we're not yet seeing any of that. But of course, we do accept that there is going to be an impact at some point. It's just that we're not yet seeing what that might be. As we get closer to the deadline on Brexit, I think the real intelligent conversations are starting to happen now is about making a distinction about migrant labour and highly skilled migrant labour, which of course our MBA graduates are very much in that. We've had, like any country, as the political landscape changes, there's been a number of cycles where visa rules have been changed, and there was a major change in 2010. And again, it was driven to try and get the migration numbers down. But again, back then in 2010, they made a special recognition for highly skilled students like ours. And so the rules that are in place now are, if you get a job in the UK off the back of your MBA, you get a visa, and there's no cap on those numbers. The conversations that are going on now, we can't actually know for sure what's going to happen, but the debate is starting to shift towards making a distinction between unskilled migration and highly skilled migration. So we await, obviously, what happens, but so far, so good in terms of our employment outputs. Investment continues to pour into London in particular, as part of the UK, particularly in tech and entrepreneurship and creative industries as well. And those are also important channels for us in terms of our student outputs. In terms of the applications, again, when we talk to candidates, some say it's on the radar, but we're not yet seeing a huge number of people turn us down for that particular reason.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, strange enough, on the road, I've been speaking to people who are attracted to the idea of coming to London even more because of the change and being around at a time of change, and also the opportunities that highly skilled people are going to go through. I mean, if you look at, say, in the consulting sector, I imagine there's going to be a fair bit of business as things change. I mean, for me, I share Gareth's position on Brexit in terms of our personal voting, our personal thoughts, but the UK has been through all kinds of change over centuries. You know, London is an ancient city with people coming and going in different waves. The UK does have some big decisions to make, but London is an amazing city and it's unique within the UK. So it's almost like, you know, country within a country. So I think for London Business School, it's going to be fascinating to watch over the next few years as we experience another of the many changes that have happened to this amazing city.
And I think just to add to that, again, David and I have both been at London Business School for over 20 years. And even just in that period, we've had everything from the dot-com bubble burst, a couple of recessions along the way, the global financial crisis. And of course, all these things are set to test business schools and business school students. And I think one thing that we very much ingrained in our students is the need to be flexible and agile. And essentially, you know, our global outlook in terms of our curriculum, we are really are training people to work anywhere in the world as well. So as trade winds blow in and out and things move around, we feel that we're training our MBA graduates to actually be agile and to be open to those changes as well, whatever those might be.
And perhaps even identify opportunities and take advantage of them.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing. There's one thing clear from Brexit is they'll need consultants to help people navigate that. And of course, consulting is has always been a strong output for us as well. But again, it's where those opportunities come up if industries change, contract, other things and new opportunities. And again, we want to be at the heart of that to ensure that our graduates can utilise their skills. We train our students to embrace these changes and make a successful impact on the way the world does business, whatever that might happen.
For candidates who are considering European MBA programs, can you talk a little bit about how the two-year MBA program at LBS is unique?
Yeah, so when a lot of students talk about wearing different MBAs, you know, they'll look at either the American model or the European model. I guess we're somewhere in the middle. We have a traditional two-year base for our program, so historically North American approach, but we have this flexibility so that you can leave the program anywhere between 15 and 21 months. So you can really tailor that through the first year now, as of this year, and also through the second year through elective choices and all the other choices you make. So if you are, for example, sponsored, or you're starting a business, or you have a personal reason to want to get through at a slightly faster pace, then you can do so by finishing in 15 months. But what we find is a sizable proportion of people joining the program have a great interest in the quicker route. As soon as they get here, as soon as they start experiencing things and realize this is their one time in their life to take a break and reflect and try new things, most students end up staying for as long as they possibly can within the learning environment. But it's a great option to have, and it's an option that you make during the program. So you're not choosing between program A, program B, program C. You're going for our MBA, and then you're defining your own route as you go.
And you can change mid-course if you get there and decide, I want to stretch this out as long as possible. You're not locked into the 15 months.
And that's the beauty of it, the flexible exit points, the 15, 18, and 21 months, is you don't have to make a decision straight away. You can be changing your mind as you go along. So the flexible exit points are done via how and when you take your electives, and we have a wide variety of elective formats, not just the term long ones but block weeks. And so that's one of the benefits that students appreciate the most, is the opportunity to be flexible and change their mind as they go along. But on the flip side is, for those who say I'm going to stay the whole 2 years, that's great, but also students have also appreciated the benefit of, if they've come off the back of an internship and converted quite quickly into a perm offer, and that company wants them to start quite soon. So we've had students do it the other way. I plan to stay for 2 years, but actually I'm going to get out for in 15 months.
That really is a unique characteristic that I could see it appealing to lots of people. Now let's get into the nitty-gritty of the application process, if we could. I wonder, could you describe for our listeners, from an operational standpoint, how the application unfolds on your end after they click submit? So from when they click submit to when they receive a decision, what's happening?
Sure, okay. So fairly standard alongside most of our friends at other schools, in that you'll submit an application, and then the first decision we'll be making within about a month or so is whether to shortlist you for interview and carry you forward in the application process. Our interviews are always with alumni, and we do them locally so that the people representing the school have not only great knowledge of the school having been through the program, but knowledge of your experience locally as well. Quite often we'll also match you by sector in terms of what you want to do in the future, but it depends where we are. Now, as part of that alumni interview, you'll also have to do an impromptu presentation. I'm not going to say too much more about it than that, but it's not scary. It's just another way that we can assess you as a candidate and your capabilities. We also ask that everybody who's been selected for an interview puts together a video interview as well. So it's a very quick and straightforward thing to do. We'll send you a link, and then you'll answer a couple of questions on video. So it gives us yet another perspective. And it means that with all our fantastic alumni help around the world, we also have this consistent view of you via the video interview. So we have all these different reflection points. So that when we come together in the admissions committee another month later, we can look and see how you might fit into the community. And we build the class over the year. So we're crafting it towards the 480 or so students that we're looking for at the end, who have to represent all the different regions of the world in the kind of volumes that we're looking for, so it creates maximum diversity, because that, at the end of the day, is why people are applying to London Business School, for that experience of being with others from all around the world, to be with others who have had very different personal and business experiences than they've had. So we build the class up through the year, just as all schools do. We have four rounds. We tend to see the same sort of trends and volumes coming through each year. Sometimes we get some surprises, but so as we go through, we're building up our information on you and you on us as well, and we make those final decisions. Now, because we have a reasonably precise class figure, class size we want to end on, we manage a wait list as we go through. That's mainly also about coming back to that point of getting the right mix of people in the class, not just the first really good people to apply, but we have these specific tasks to do as we go through, which is great. And we end up with 480 or so amazing people from all around the world with very different experiences, who are all looking forward to contributing and working together.
Now, in terms of that review of the application that leads an applicant hopes to an invitation to interview, who's reading the application? How many reads does it get? Is there another, presumably there's another read after the interview? Do you meet as a committee? Do you always meet as a committee, or only in cases of dissension?
Yeah, sure. So we before we've even started the year, there's a broader admissions committee. We'll sit and review what we've done and what we're looking for next year, what we'd like more of, what some of the goals we might have, and some of the decisions that might change year by year depending on the environment and what we learn as we build the class. And also referring back to, well, very heavily to our colleagues in the careers team as to people's realism of aspirations, what's going on, what are the growth sectors, where people want to work, that kind of thing. There's also input in lots of different ways via faculty and senior leadership of the school. But when it comes down to actually making the admissions decisions as we go, we have lots of people reading for us, but there's the admissions team who are really doing the core reading activity. I read a lot of applications when it comes through. I'm still very passionate about that. When it comes to the final sign-off of admissions, then there is a committee, and we will, as a group, be looking at, you know, whether it's together or individually and passing it on, whether somebody is the right fit. And there'll often be discussions of, yes, this person's good for us because, and not necessarily in agreement with others until we make those final decisions. So it's quite a fluid process, but there are lots of checking in points with different people feeding in, which is the most important. You know, it's we are strong because of the experience and knowledge from the different voices within the extended admissions team that are putting this class together. And you know, that can take a little longer, but it works really well, because whilst 480 seems like a big number, obviously we could have many more than that in the class. So coming down and landing on that number is a tough thing to do when most of the applicants we get really are very good and could and will be doing an MBA somewhere.
You mentioned that you've got four rounds. Do you have advice to applicants in terms of which round they should apply in, and how does that depend on the applicant, his or her experience, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So I think, like most schools, I'd advise applying early if it's early in the year, just because it's, you know, we're starting from scratch. We perhaps haven't got through to the kind of final round experience of knowing which gaps we want to build up. So the earlier you can apply, the better for you as well as us. So you've got to prepare a lot of things. You've got to prepare your exit from work, got to get your funding together, you've got to prepare to perhaps move all the way around the world. So the sooner you can do that and know where you're going to be in several months' time, the better. Saying that, and perhaps this is where we European schools differ a little to some of our North American friends, we do build through the year, and each and every one of those rounds is valuable for us. We'll be making offers. And personally as well, if I have one place left because somebody dropped out for whatever reason, you know, a week before the start of the program, I want to fill it. I want to make sure that every opportunity is taken. So we use each and every round. The final rounds are even more competitive than the start, just as I say, because we're closing the class and crafting the bits we really want to make sure we achieve.
Essays. What is your recommendation in terms of approaching essays? How important are essays in the overall process? Mistakes that applicants make repeatedly that the people listening to this podcast might avoid. One key thing that you'd recommend applicants think about as they sit down to write their essays?
Sure. So I think the first thing to say is, we know it, you're going to do a lot of work in your applications for business schools, and we respect that. But do remember, we want to see why you want to come to London Business School specifically. So make sure you've done your research, you've spoken to as many people as possible, especially those within the community. You'll get huge advantage from doing that, whether it's staff, alumni, students, faculty, whatever resources, however you go about doing it, do it. So look at the essay. We only really have one, and it's a really strong and thorough one, and it's mainly talking about how your prior experiences and the London Business School program are going to contribute toward you getting towards your goal, and goals in career, goals in life. It takes some time to pick that question apart. Consider what you've done through your career so far, where you want to get to. Be open-minded, the fact that the MBA is a journey and you'll have different opportunities presenting, but don't deviate from the question we're asking. Don't try and put in what you want to tell us about yourself. There are different opportunities throughout the entire application. For the essay, do the job it asks you. In terms of the mistakes, they're the obvious ones. Don't copy and paste from another essay, even if it looks quite similar. We want to see that you've done your homework and you care about us. In the same way, we're going to care about you if you're admitted to the programme. We do give an opportunity with a second optional essay to tell us anything you think is relevant. And my advice with that one is, think if the information you're going to tell us is relevant. What will we learn from it? Is this going to add value to the picture you're painting? Or is it going to be a distraction? It can be a very useful tool to tell us the practical stuff in terms of, I've got a career gap here and here's why, or here's why I made this decision about this international move, or just perhaps an opportunity to expand on why LBS is the right place for you. So yeah, be thorough, be careful, be researched, don't rush, but get them done.
And then about the interviews, advice to candidates that they prepare for an interview. You mentioned that they're conducted by alumni, often in the home city of the candidate. What does this alumni know about the applicant as they approach the interview? Have they seen the whole file? Have they just seen the resume? Other pieces of advice?
Sure. So I know schools do things differently, but we like our alumni to have the full picture on you. So they'll have the full application. They'll have some notes from us on things we'd like them to look out for. We send the alumni a careful set of criteria we'd like them to give us feedback on and assess you by. But then we also open it up so that they can have a good open conversation. And I believe this can take anywhere between an hour and sort of, you hear stories of 3 hours plus. I mean, if it's in a very positive situation of the interview and interviewer getting on very well and sharing the stories of the alumni's time at London Business School. And so it's your opportunity as a candidate to learn even more as well. My advice on that is, you know, when we match you, do some research on who it is. It's not hard to do in this day and age, so you know who you're talking to. They will, like I say, they'll have set questions that will be fairly obvious, but they also then will expand on that, and perhaps they will have questions of their own that we haven't noted down. So their review of the application. So they're a great extended member of the admissions committee, if you will, and of course, as alum, they have the biggest stake possible in who we select going forwards for the school, because they will always be alumni of London Business School, so they want to make sure that the people following them are the right people. Now, they're also very open-minded London Business School people, so it doesn't mean they have to be cast in the same mould as them. They can be, the candidate can be quite different to them in terms of personality or experience or potential value add, but you have to be somebody that's going to help build the brand of their school.
You talk about lots of change on the horizon in terms of the shifts in the curriculum, the growing class size, the getting comfortable in the new facility. Are there changes planned in the admissions process itself, or are you in a kind of steady state for the time being?
I think we always make little tweaks as we go through, but we've got a very thorough process right now. We absolutely love the alumni interview. We're really enjoying having the extra information from the video interviews as well. The essay hasn't changed for the last couple of years. We made some quite big changes not too long ago and streamlined it somewhat just because we knew we were adding these different other factors later on. But it's in a fairly steady state right now because it works really well for us.
If it's not broke,
right,
fix it.
Right.
That brings me to the end of my questions. Are there things we haven't touched on that you would like to highlight for our listeners, either about the admissions process, London Business School, why being in London is the best place to study? I leave it open to you.
On my side of things, I'd just say if you're not sure if you want to move out of your home country to do an MBA, then just take a look. Take a look at what goes on in the school, the kind of students that study here. And if possible, come and visit us. That's a really useful thing to do. Or at the very least, talk to people one-to-one locally as well. And just really reflect on where you want to be. You know, if you're a candidate from a certain region, you might have a safe default to go to a school in that region, especially if you're in North America. There's so many great business schools in North America to go to, but ask yourself how the world is changing. And at this stage of your career, you know, the MBA stage, this is the time to be brave and to build your skill set and to differentiate yourself against the people who are currently around you. And for us at London Business School, we believe that, you know, that's what we can do. Wherever you come from, wherever you end up going back to or heading off in a third direction, you will have something unique to add to your resume by spending some time in London around people from lots of different countries in the world, lots of different industries. So this is your chance for a differentiator. Be brave, do something different, come and experience London Business School. It's a great place to be, great place to live.
I'm totally sold on that. Thank you, David.
I
would say encourage people to take a fresh look at the London Business School MBA. We're proud that we're celebrating 50 years of the MBA at London Business School. It's our flagship degree programme. But actually, when we were talking earlier about misconceptions, it's quite easy to underestimate and overlook or take for granted the global nature of the London Business School MBA. Every business school should be talking about global, and they do. And I take no issue with that. Just take a look at how we do global. This is the thing that when our students say, they said, I know you told us it was global. I didn't realize just how global. We have faculty from 30 different countries. We have over 70 different nationalities across the MBA. Global is in our DNA, and again, one of the best joys of my job is to still go and sit in the back of class and see the exchange of ideas and seeing how students giving their insights about how business is done in their particular country. So it's every business school and every MBA talks about global, but I think we really encourage people to come and see how we do global. It's just something that we do every single day, and it's one of the reasons why I still love what I do. But also as well, in terms of thinking what we talked about in terms of our structure, you know, having the classic 2-year, you know, America is the home of the MBA, but we've done amazing things in 50 years. And again, encouraging people to have an experience. If you're based in the US, have an experience outside of that. Europe is obviously not a country, but being part of Europe, the vibrancy of the many different countries that are involved, the fact that we, our students, as part of the MBA, will also travel in vacation times. Obviously, it's my job to make sure that they do still go to class as well. And I think to have a truly global experience in the world's, as far as I'm concerned, the world's greatest city, is really something that we'd encourage candidates to think about. Who do you want to study? Where do you want to study? And what do you want to do? And a place like London is a gateway to the world and all different kinds of sectors as well.
Terrific. Well, thanks to you both for making the time. It's been such a pleasure, and I'm confident our listeners will take a lot from this. Thanks again.
Thanks for the opportunity. It's great to talk to you.